All right. Well, today we are talking about giving thanks. Giving thanks. Now, I want to ask you a question that might seem a little rude, a little like, really, should you be asking that question? You're a pastor. You should know better than to ask that question. But today, I kind of want to make a case a little bit for something. I want to ask you this. I know it's Thanksgiving. I know it's that time of year where we go back and we give for the good things that we've received from God. But let me ask you a real question. Let me just be real. Do we have to give thanks? That's my question. Do we have to give thanks? I mean, do we really have to do this? Indulge me for a moment here. Imagine we lived in a world where no one thanked anyone for anything. I'll say that again. Imagine that we lived in a world where no one thanked anyone for anything. That we just received a gift or a favor from someone and we simply accepted it and moved on with our lives. Some of you are thinking about people that already live like that, right? Some of you are already thinking about that person that you held the door for and they did not say thank you. Like, how rude is that? How rude is that? I mean, how many of you, if you're honest, have ever held a door for someone, the person walks through and doesn't say anything, and you just say, thank you, right? Or you say, you're welcome, right? We've done that. We've been honest. I've done that myself. Let me ask you this. It is nice to get that thank you. It is nice to get that response. But for a moment, imagine that that wasn't so drilled into our culture. Imagine that in our culture, that wasn't even a thing. That we just did things for people and they didn't appreciate it and they just kind of took the favor and ran with it. Imagine for a moment that we lived in a culture. Some of you are thinking, I would not want to live in that culture. I would not want to live there. But I'll ask you another question. Would you continue to give to an unappreciative person? Would you? Would you continue to show favor? Now, before you answer, don't answer too quickly here. Before you answer, because I don't want to trap you. Here's another question. Should you continue to give to an unappreciative person? Should you continue to give to an unappreciative person? You might say, no, I shouldn't. And some of you are thinking, no, I should not, I would not. In fact, some of you have stopped giving to people simply because they didn't appreciate your gifts. Don't raise your hand, but maybe internally you say, you know, is that me? Did I stop giving someone something because they just never appreciated it? Okay, let me tell you something. The reality is that God sees things a little differently. God gives. God gives. In fact, let me tell you, here's the reality about God. God gives with no expectations. God gives and he holds the door for you and you walk through the door constantly and he's never saying, you're welcome. You never hear that from God because God does not give with expectations and he kind of lets us know that maybe we should not give with expectations. Look at what the Bible says. Matthew 6, verses 3 to 4. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do not tell your left hand what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. God wants all of our giving to be in shh, hush, hush. Don't talk about it. Don't tell anyone about it. When you give, don't do it. He says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The Bible tells us that God is going to reward us every time we give and we don't talk about it. Our reward doesn't come from the receiver, but rather the reward comes from God. In fact, many times we're giving to people that really can't even thank us appropriately for the gifts we've given. God says when you give, give in secret. So God has this idea that what we do, we don't make a big deal about it. That in a sense, we should just do good deeds for the sake of doing good deeds. Imagine that. I was in a conversation recently with some people, and there was one person that came out and admitted that she does favors because she's looking to be rewarded with that thank you. She so wants the thank you that she'll go ahead and she'll do a lot of favors so that she can be applauded and thanked and appreciated. That's the way she feels loved. And she said, she admitted, and even in a way that was kind of like saying to her shame, that she does good things, but she does them for the thank yous. And let's be honest, we many times do good things and we want that thank you. We want that appreciation. But shouldn't we just do the good thing for the good thing's sake? I think Jesus would say yes. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You do things and you hold that person's door. You give those gifts and you do that favor for the simple idea or the simple notion of just doing that thing. He says, even when you pray, God has this thing with secrets, right? When you pray, you go into your room, you shut the door and pray to your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. God is a secretive God. And like we said before, God gives to us consistently without expecting anything. And maybe some of you are saying, yeah, but the Bible says that we ought to thank God. And you're right. The Bible does say that we ought to thank God. But we thank God not because he's seeking that thanks or he's seeking that praise. But when we thank him, we praise God. We thank him and we praise God because he is God. Just because he is God, it is, the Bible says that it is fitting for the upright to praise him. It is fitting. It's the right thing to do. We don't do it because he wants it. Do you know that God can be God whether you thank him or not? It's not because he wants it, but rather it's because it's the right thing to do. God gives without expectations. How do I know that? John 3:16 is a perfect example of that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God gave to us before we believed. Just gave. You know that there's people that are not going to be saved. We know that. We know there's people that are not going to get salvation, that are not going to appreciate the gift that God gave and given us his son. There are people that are just not going to appreciate it. In fact, they reject it constantly. Plenty of people, but God just gave it anyways. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God gives with no expectation. If you appreciate it, great. If you don't appreciate it, great. It's fine. You see, and here's the thing that you need to understand, the thing that we all need to understand, and it's that thanksgiving or giving thanks is not about the giver, it's about the receiver. Giving thanks is never about the giver, because the giver ought to give, if her heart is right, the giver ought to give in a way as to not even have an expectation. This is not Secret Santa. This is not, I buy you a $5 gift if you buy me a $5 gift. This is just, I buy a $5 gift, period. That's it. We're done. In fact, the giver that is thinking about what the giver is going to receive is actually a very selfish giver. And maybe that is not the type of giving that God wants us to do. We need to be selfless givers. When the giver has given, that is the end. Period. There's no reason for the giver to feel like he needs to receive something. The giver simply gives. And in giving, the giver has already completed his or her task. I hope you're not holding it over someone that you gave them something and they have not given back to you. Because if that's the case, then maybe you're not the type of giver that you should be. Moving forward, though, maybe you should resolve in your heart to be the type of giver God wants us to be. And that's the type of giver that gives, period. No strings attached. This is not bait and switch. I'm going to call out my son, Josiah. I'm so sorry, but this was such a great conversation. We had such a great conversation the other day. My son, Josiah, he's really good at saving money. And the other day, I picked him up from school, and he told me, Dad, I'm going to wait for you at Starbucks, okay? Starbucks. I'm going to work on some schoolwork. I'll just be there, and you know, just pick me up at Starbucks. So I pick him up at Starbucks, and when I pick him up, I notice he didn't have a cup. He didn't have a little wrapper or nothing. And I said, Josiah, you didn't buy anything at Starbucks? And he goes, no. Why should I buy anything at Starbucks? And I said, well, they give you free Wi-Fi. And he's like, yeah, but they don't say you have to buy something to use the free Wi-Fi. And I told him, well, it's kind of a given. Like, you know, they give you something, you give them something. It's kind of the reason why they have free Wi-Fi. So you come in there and you buy something. He goes, yeah, but if they just are giving free Wi-Fi, I'm just taking the free Wi-Fi. Like, there's nothing that says I have to buy something. And I said, you know what, Josiah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They are offering free Wi-Fi for people to come and just get free Wi-Fi. They never say you must buy a drink to get the free Wi-Fi. I said, Josiah, you know, you're absolutely right. Actually, I said, that makes me think that's really messed up of Starbucks to offer free Wi-Fi thinking that they can get something out of you. You know, we left that conversation from me blaming him to us blaming Starbucks for being such stingy givers, right? They want you to buy something, and that's why they're giving something. But the reality is that they have given you what they needed to give you by the Wi-Fi. And they should not be upset that you use their Wi-Fi because they gave it for free. So next time you're at Starbucks, do not fall for the trap. And if anyone says anything, you say, they gave it to me. Right? Isn't it interesting that even in our culture, we always have that idea that, you know, businesses do this all the time. Hey, I'll give you a free gift if you do this. But that's not giving. That's not true giving. Giving is not about the giver. Giving is about the receiver. When you give thanks, it's not about the giver. The giver should be satisfied in his giving, but giving thanks, it's more about what it does for you as the receiver. I'm going to take you through a passage of scripture here today, Luke 17. And it's a popular passage of scripture, but I want you to see some things that maybe you've never seen before. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. This is talking about Jesus. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers. He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Now, let me explain a little bit about leprosy, because some of you may not know what leprosy is. Leprosy is a way for scripture to describe a variety of skin diseases and skin disorders. So people with leprosy had all sorts of maybe warts, or they had skin that was peeling and coming off, or were completely disfigured because of this leprosy. It would be similar to our modern-day Hansen's disease. Leprosy was a horrible disease, and they believed very contagious. And because they thought it was so contagious, they needed to stand at a distance. If you were a leper, you needed to stand at a distance. You could not live amongst other society. You had to have your own place. You could only live amongst people with leprosy. Now think about it. You feel gross about yourself. You look in the mirror and you're not attractive and you know it. And we don't know the ages of these people. Life expectancy, some people say back in those times were maybe 30, 40 years old, right? So these might have been some really young people. And young people, I mean, they are excited that they look good, right? Like they want to always look good. But I'm thinking, I mean, even us older people, we want to look good, right? We want to present ourselves well. But no matter what they did, they always just looked distasteful. And that's bad. I mean, we want to be attractive. We want people to look at us and say, oh, you look good and you look nice. We like those things. These people probably never heard that. Not only did they never hear it, but they had to live among people that looked just as distasteful. I could imagine some lepers thinking, I know I look bad, but have you seen her? Like, or have you seen him? Like, cover that thing up. Like, so leprosy was just really bad. Really just nasty looking disease. So much so that when you were coming to town, you had to let people know, man with leprosy coming, woman with leprosy coming, get away from me. No one come around me. Could you imagine living in that type of isolation where you're always the outcast? And if you're ever close to anyone, people would run away from you. Jesus was different, wasn't he? He's the only one that would speak to people with leprosy. Jesus was met not by one, but by 10 lepers. That must have been just, difficult to see. Difficult to be in their presence, but yet Jesus is there amongst 10. They lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, some people tell us that their voices sometimes were very raspy even because of the disease itself. So could you imagine just a bunch of voices, raspy voices, Jesus, have mercy on us. That's probably what it sounded like. But not one, 10 of them, have mercy on us. And they do one thing that I love, they call him Master. They probably didn't know that much about him, but they knew that he's the master. He's the one that we go to. Have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, some of you might think, wow, that's a weird thing to say. Because you would expect it to say, be healed. Right? But Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. Why did he tell them to go and show themselves to the priest? Because in their time, the Jews needed to be declared clean. The people with leprosy, they were declared unclean. And the only person that can declare them clean was a priest. And you're like, what do you mean by unclean? Unclean meant that they could not worship with everyone else. Unclean meant that they could not be in the presence of everyone else. So they were declared unclean, and only the priests can declare them clean. They were not saved in the moment, like we see many of Jesus' miracles. They were cleansed as they walked towards the priest. This is what the Bible tells us. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, so remember there were 10, but only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. So this one guy of the 10, as he's walking, it seems like he never arrived to the priest. As he's walking, he's clean, he sees his skin, and he's like, oh my gosh, the miracle has been performed. The Bible says that they were all cleansed as they were walking. But when this guy saw, he says, I can't go to the priest. I've got to go back to Jesus. And he runs back to Jesus to thank him. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. I want to tell you a few things, three things, in fact, about grateful people. About grateful people. The first one is that grateful people come back. Grateful people come back. They remember where their grace was given, and they always come back. It's so important that we would come back. And Thanksgiving is a great time for us to come back. It's a great time for us to look at the year and say, Lord, you know, in spite of maybe what has happened in the past year, or maybe because of what's happened in the past year, it's good for us to come back, to go back to those places where times were a little more difficult, that we go back. Grateful people always come back. They always remember. In fact, God tells the Israelites through Moses, he says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was there to remind us of what God has already done. You should always go back. Then he goes and he says this. He says, Take care, lest you forget the law, the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He tells the Israelites, listen, you've got to remember what God has done for you. You got to live in a place where you're constantly reminding yourself of where you've come from. Because here's the reality. When life is better, we tend to forget those bad times. When life is better, we tend to forget those bad times. We tend to forget when there wasn't as much food in the fridge. We tend to forget when we're living in our house, how we used to struggle in that apartment. We tend to forget how we had it. And we just start living in the newness so much that unless we remind ourselves, we forget. He says, I want you to remember. I want you to remember. In 1 Corinthians, Paul, he tells the believers there, because they were starting to forget. He says, consider your calling, brothers. Before your calling, not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised by the world, even things that are not, to bring up to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He says, listen, don't get so high and mighty. You need to remind yourself of where you came from. Remember that you weren't smart. Remember that you weren't strong. Remember that there was a time when you were weak. In fact, sometimes it's that memory that helps us empathize with those that are currently in the situations that we used to be. Grateful people, truly grateful people, remember, they go back. Not only do they go back, but grateful people respond quickly. Respond quickly. What does the Bible tell us about this leper? The Bible tells us that as he was walking and he saw that he was cleansed, he ran back to Jesus. He ran back to Jesus. When you're grateful, grateful people respond quickly. They come back and they come back quickly. They don't procrastinate. They don't wait. They go back and they thank people quickly. How many of us have received a favor from someone and we had it in mind to thank them? Man, I remember when they gave me that favor and I had it in mind to thank them and I wanted to get a card. I wanted to, you know, write them that nice email and just never got around to it. And now it's been maybe days, maybe weeks, months, years, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I have yet to thank that person for what they did. I had it in mind to do it and just never came around to it. You know, one example from this leper is that he came back quickly. He did not hesitate. He did not procrastinate. He did it in the moment. I want to tell you, sometimes we need to thank people in the moment. We need to get to it quickly. We can't just procrastinate and wait. You remember the parable of the 10 virgins. You had 10 virgins. Five of them were prepared. Five of them were not. You be the type that is prepared, that you go back, that you don't hesitate, that when there is thanks to be given, you go back quickly. You don't delay. You don't just put it off for another day. I happen to think, you know, we give these 9 lepers a hard time because they never came back to Jesus. But let's believe the best here for a moment. I wonder if some of them said, well, I'm going to thank him, but let me go show myself to the priest first. Let me just go to the priest. I'm going to thank. Dude, he said to go to the priest. Like, why are you going back to Jesus so quickly? Let's go to the priest. And man, maybe they got to the priest and they're declared cleansed. And man, oh, he was declared cleansed. They're all coming out of the line. Yes, I'm cleansed. And maybe in the enthusiasm and other people surrounding them, maybe they just forgot to go back to Jesus. It's not that they weren't grateful. Maybe they were grateful. And maybe they had in mind to send a little postcard to Jesus, like, hey, thank you. Maybe they were going to do all those things, but they never got around to it. They were so focused on life and in their own life that they forgot that someone did something for me. It's so important that we all take the time to be grateful and that we do it quickly, that we respond quickly go back and show our appreciation. The last thing I want you to know about grateful people is this, is that they get to live life to the fullest. Grateful people actually get to live life to the fullest. Let's go back to Luke 17. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed?" The answer to that is yes. Jesus knew the answer to that. Jesus didn't say, hey, did I put in a wrong order? Like maybe I ordered 10 lepers to be healed, but only 9, you know, only 1 was healed. Where are the other 9? No, Jesus knew what was going on. He says, where are they? Are they coming? Like they, you got back and you gave thanks. Where are the other ones? Where are they? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? This man was a Samaritan. He wasn't a Jew like the others, perhaps. And because of that, he says, except this foreigner. And he said to him, rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, you're thinking, wait, Pastor Rob, you just finished saying that they live life to the fullest. And I don't see anything here about a full life. Okay. Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, ESV and some other translators have translated it that way. The word it's sozo in the Greek. Made you well should be the word sozo. This is probably not the best translation. The best translation is probably go on your way. Your faith has saved you. Saved you. And why do I say that's the better translation? I say that's the better translation because they were all made well. 10 lepers healed, they're all well. They're doing okay. Like they're doing much better than when they were before their encounter with Jesus. They're doing okay. They're all made well. They're all made well. 10 lepers were healed that day, but only one was saved. Sozo. Only one was saved. The Bible tells us in John 10:10 that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus says, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Being made well is great, but being made well and being saved is even better. This guy, he got to live his life to the fullest. Because his life now doesn't end here on earth. But now he has a more abundant life. He has the more abundant life of Jesus. You see what I mean when I tell you that giving thanks is not about the giver, but rather it's about the receiver. It's about the person that received. Because he came and he gave thanks, now his faith had not just made him well, but his faith had saved him. Now he was going to live a new life. With a new walk. The other guys, or I'm thinking there were guys, maybe some ladies in there, but the other ones, they didn't get that. They didn't get to hear the voice of Jesus say, "Your faith has saved you." They got life, they got some life, they got their life restored. Jesus, for this guy, his life was not just restored, but it was a better life, a better quality, a more abundant life. Here's the reality. You don't have to thank God. You don't have to thank God. You don't. God is not forcing you. You're not going to hear a voice from heaven that's going to say on Thanksgiving, hello? I've done a couple things for you this year. Hello, do you remember where you came from? You're not going to get that from God. So you can go about your merry way thinking, you know, I don't need to thank God. I don't need to thank God. But if that's you, you are going to be, first of all, self-deceived. You're going to think that you're a self-made man, like some people say. Like you didn't need anything from anybody, like you made it on your own, like God hasn't given you anything, and you're just going to be completely oblivious to the fact that God has been helping you, and he's going to continue. His favor and his grace is abundant, and he's going to continue. The Bible tells us that it is the favor of God that it leads us to repentance, or it should lead us to repentance. God is being so kind and so generous toward you. Hopefully, you'd acknowledge him. So you don't have to thank God, but you're probably going to believe some really wrong things. You don't have to thank God, but maybe you'll just be like the other ungrateful, procrastinating bunch. You'll be like the nine that intended to thank him maybe, but never got around to it, and therefore they ultimately ended up being ungrateful people, even though maybe in their minds they thought they were being grateful. Or maybe worse yet, you don't have to thank God, but you are going to miss out on the abundant life that God has for you. So here's the question, are you grateful? And you're thinking, yeah, I'm totally grateful. Okay, let's go to the next question. I mean, are you really grateful? Are you constantly coming back to God to thank him? Are you constantly, you know, some of you think, well, why do people go to church every Sunday? Man, this is the very least we can do. This is the very least we can do to come and thank him here. The reality is his favor and his grace have been so abundant in our lives that we should be thanking him constantly. There shouldn't be a day that goes by where we don't thank God. I've told you about my little formula to prayer, P-R-A-Y. Whenever I pray and whenever you pray, I recommend that you do this. P is for praise, that you start with a praise to God. Praise is a form of thanksgiving to God, that you start thanking him for his goodness. You start praising him for how great he is. R is where you repent and you admit, you say, Lord, I am a sinner and I repent of my sins. A is finally where you get to ask for some things. And Y is when we yield to God. But it all starts with P, with praise, with thanksgiving. We come into this house with thanksgiving. Before we can receive anything from God, we should always come into God's house with thanksgiving. Why do you think we start with singing? Why do we think that we start with praise? Praises and songs of adoration to God, because we are praising him, we are thanking him. But we want to stop for a minute. And I want us to take a moment. What if we took a moment today? Right there in the app that we just shared with you, there are three things. And if you don't have an app, maybe you have another device or pen and paper. But I'd like us to take a moment here and just think about three things that we may have forgotten to thank God for. That we may have forgotten. Maybe we think we did, but we're just not sure right now. Did I ever intentionally come back to God and thank Him for it? And man, sometimes if you're honest, it could even be some bad things. Because the Bible tells us, you know, that God will sometimes use some of those bad things that happen to life. Some of those things, God can use it for our own growth and for our development. But I'd like you to just take a moment, just one word, two words, whatever, but just say, God, I forgot to thank God for this, this, and that. I think I'm not sure that I ever actually came back and thanked Him for those specific things. And maybe sometimes, maybe there were things that you were actually praying for. Can I tell you something? I have a prayer journal, or I have several prayer journals that I had from years ago. And I read some of those prayer journals today, and I say, holy smokes, God, you answered that prayer, you answered this prayer, you answered that prayer, that other one you've answered. Sometimes I don't think it's that God doesn't answer prayers, it's that we don't acknowledge that He answered it when He does. We don't even realize that we've asked for some things. We forget our own prayers. But today, I'd like you to take those three things. And here's what I'd like you to do. Certainly, you can thank God today for them. You can thank God in your prayer time. But around your tables this Thanksgiving, possibly someone's going to ask, what are you thankful for? And you are going to be prepared. Oh, you asked the wrong person if you thought you were going to eat some hot turkey. I am thankful for this, and I am thankful for this, and I am thankful for this. Now, more than that, what if your life reflected that you're thankful for those things as well? Today, I have just one simple encouragement for you this Thanksgiving. This is going to blow your mind. You ready for this? Hold on to your seat here. This Thanksgiving, I want you to give thanks. But a genuine thanks. And don't just let this Thanksgiving be the special Thanksgiving, but make giving thanks a part of your everyday life. Lord, I need to give you thanks. If you need to write your prayers and you need to, when God answers them, go back to those and say, this is when God answered this and this is when God answered that. You'll see, man, your God truly, genuinely loves you. Amen. Let's pray.